This episode of the Y-Files is brought to you by Fishing Clash. Military surveillance planes circled the Welsh village of Penturk for 3 days straight in February 2016. Never leaving, never landing, just circling. Local police fielded dozens of calls. Residents wanted answers about the planes. They wanted to know about the 3 days of weird lights in the sky. The police said it was probably RAF training, but they didn't know either. Kaz Clark stood outside with her neighbor Dave on February 26th. They'd been watching the planes for days. Military aircraft don't circle villages without a reason. At 2:30 a.m., they got their answer. A black pyramid appeared in the sky, 30 stories tall. Within seconds, combat aircraft swarmed from every direction. The military wasn't surprised. They'd been waiting for it. The circling planes, the perfect timing, this was not a coincidence. This was an ambush.
It floats back to you.
Human, I'm glad you're there. I finally figured out why I'm not catching any fish.
Wait, hold on. I didn't think you ate of,
What? I'm not looking for a meal. I am looking for a date. This weekend is my high school reunion, and I can't show up stag.
You can't bring Gertie?
Shh, don't let her hear you. And no, I can't bring a camel to my reunion. The guys I grew up with don't share my progressive views on relationships. I need a trout, or maybe find me a little bass.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take you out for a nice evening. Totally platonic, probably. And then take her home. A simple catch and release.
Yeah, but you'd still be yanking her out of the water with a hook against her will. It seems wrong.
You are still thinking like a human. I do not use a hook, and I do not take them against their will.
Then what do you get them to bite on?
Lululemon gift cards. That is the signal that all they have to do is make me look good in front of my friends for one night, and they will be rewarded with yoga pants.
I see.
That, my friend, is the language of the sea.
Then what do you need me for?
I forgot my fish caller at the office. I need you to call the ladies while I got you on speaker.
Fine. Where is the fish caller?
It's under your desk.
I don't see anything.
Behind the jar of sweet gherkins.
Gherkins?
They're small pickled cucumbers.
I know what gherkins are. All that's there is this and Seymour the rubber chicken.
Seymour is my fish caller. Go ahead and squeeze him, will you?
I will not.
Do it, or I will drag this bit out even longer.
Fine.
Oh, take it easy. That is a chicken. You squeeze him, you don't choke him. Yeah, again, but maybe a little staccato. Yeah. Crap, maybe this won't work over speakerphone. Okay, you can see more dressed and I'll call him an Uber.
Look, there's a much better way to enjoy fishing without all this hassle.
Oh, did you just bait me with today's sponsor?
I sure did. Fishing Clash, the ultra-realistic fishing simulator available right from your pocket. In Fishing Clash, you can join clans, engage in intense clan wars, upgrade your equipment, and catch a huge variety of fish from all around the world. You can even start your own clan and lead them to victory.
Or join Hecklefish's clan, Fear the Crab Cat.
My own clan? I'm a natural leader. I'll dominate the competition. How do I play?
Just download Fishing Clash on your iOS or Android device for free using our link. And use our gift code WF to get a $20 reward. Once you're in the game, the real fun begins. Explore diverse fishing spots across the globe and start reeling in hundreds of fish species from local favorites to exotic catches. And if you're anything like me, you'll be hooked on leveling up your gear. With the sleek rod and lure upgrades, better rods and lures mean bigger fish.
Of course! That's science!
When you land that trophy fish, don't forget to share your biggest catch in the pinned comment. Download Fishing Clash using our link or scan the QR code on the screen and use our gift code WF to get a special $20 value reward and a unique avatar made just for Y-Files fans. You'll be catching fish like a pro in no time.
The underwater scenery is gorgeous, and I've caught more fish in 10 minutes than I have in 10 years. I've leveled up my rod like crazy. These upgrades are amazing, and I didn't need to squeeze a rubber chicken. It's like magic.
Hey, a quick question.
Yeah?
Instead of trying to catch fish from a boat, what if you just kind of went into the water?
Do me a favor, will you? Pretend I'm a hook and bite me.
The pyramid didn't descend through the night sky above Penturk. It emerged. Kaz Clark watched this massive object materialize point first, not coming down from above, pushing through from somewhere else. It reminded Kaz of a knife blade slicing through black paper. This thing was enormous, 1,000 feet long on each side, bigger than the Great Pyramid of Giza, hovering just above the tree line. Objects this size make noise. Engines, rotors, something. Not this object. The pyramid was silent. Dave grabbed Kaz's arm. His hand was shaking. And the pyramid just hung there, tilted at an angle. Then it started moving. Not flying, swaying. Left, right, left again. Picture a pendulum the size of a skyscraper. Nothing that massive should move like that. Dave started walking toward it. Kaz pulled him back. Whatever this was, they needed to keep their distance.
Yo, you get too close, you're gonna get probed.
They ran to her back gate for a better view across the fields. The pyramid was maybe 200 feet up by now, and that's when the temperature dropped. Not gradually, instantly. 5 degrees Celsius in 3 seconds. Kaz could see her breath. Dave's too. She asked Dave if he felt it. He said, yeah, it was freezing.
Yeah, he's right. They really should warm up the probes before
It wasn't a probe. Later, meteorological data would confirm it. The temperature dropped exactly 5 degrees Celsius, exactly when that pyramid appeared. February in Wales is cold, but this was different. Kaz said it felt like the cold wasn't coming from the air. She could feel it inside her body.
Yeah, still sounds like a probe.
Okay, go easy with the probe, all right?
That's what she said. Yeah.
The pyramid's underside lit up. 6 lights along one edge burned white hot. Now Kaz could see the surface clearly. The texture wasn't smooth like aircraft metal. It was rough, like it was carved from black stone. Then something shot out of the top. It was green and very bright. So bright, Kaz had to cover her eyes. The green object stopped midair, then started darting in random directions. It looked agitated. Lightning erupted from the pyramid's lower corner. But this wasn't weather lightning. The bolts looked heavy and thick. Each strike lasted 2 to 3 seconds. And they weren't firing randomly. They touched specific points in the field. The lightning acted like it was looking for something. 4 C-17 transport planes roared in from the west, flying low. Too low. These planes were 174 feet long, designed to carry tanks. They don't fly at chimney height, but here they were, 2 in front, wingtip to wingtip, and 2 more in back. The green object flashed at the planes. It wasn't attacking, it was signaling, and the message was clear. Follow me. Then it shot west toward L'Entresant. The C-17s banked hard and chased the light. And the pyramid, it started fading away. Not flying away, becoming transparent. But before the pyramid vanished, dozens of objects launched into the sky. Red barrel-shaped objects spreading across the field. 2 barrels stopped and rotated slowly until they were facing Kaz and Dave. Then, the objects charged. The red barrels stopped 30 feet away from Kaz and Dave, one in front of each of them, just hovering there, watching. And Kaz couldn't move, and she wasn't frozen with fear. She literally couldn't move her legs. Something was holding her in place. Dave stood next to her, also stuck. They could move their eyes, but nothing else. And the paralysis wasn't just physical. When the barrels first approached, Kaz tried to film them, but her phone was dead. Not low battery, completely dead. The barrel on the left drifted closer, 20 feet, then 10. Now Kaz could see through it. The object was made of something translucent, like red glass. And inside, thousands of tiny points of light swirled around like static from an old TV. But the static wasn't random. The specks were mixing and reforming into patterns. The thing looked alive. But the barrel on the right just watched. Kaz felt it studying them. She was terrified, but there was nothing she could do. Then the closer barrel changed from red to green instantly, like someone flipped a switch. Green light washed over them. It felt warm and tingly. The light went through her, through her skin, through muscle, through bone. The sensation lasted maybe 30 seconds, though time felt strange, like everything was in slow motion. When the green light faded, Kaz felt different. Her fear was gone. She felt energized and alert, and she had this overwhelming need to talk about what happened. Then both barrels started to slowly back away. They rose higher and drifted west over the rooftops toward L'Entresante. Kaz flexed her fingers. Dave shook his head like he was clearing water from his ears. They could move again. But the green barrel had left something behind. Years later, Kaz learned her nervous system was generating a constant electric signal, a repeating pattern that shouldn't exist in human biology. The signal would spike and change, like her body was transmitting data. Meanwhile, calls flooded the Cardiff police station. Lights in the sky, military aircraft everywhere. Planes were flying so low, houses were shaking like there was an earthquake. Furniture was knocked over, pictures falling off walls. By 3 a.m., the police were overwhelmed, and they had no answers. But the planes kept coming. And then came the helicopters. Lots of them. Apache gunships roared over Penturk in pyramid formation. Attack helicopters armed with Hellfire missiles. They swept the field, but the objects were gone. Then they turned hard toward L'Entresante, following the same path as the barrels. More combat helicopters arrived. Chinooks from the west, Puma, Lynx, and Merlins from the north. The sky filled with military aircraft, all heading in the same direction. Dave and Kaz wanted to follow, but the Welsh countryside in winter is pitch black. No streetlights, no moon through the clouds. They couldn't see anything. They'd have to wait for daylight. When Kaz got home, she felt strange, disoriented. She checked the clock, 3:50 a.m. But that couldn't be right. They were outside for no longer than 15 minutes, but somehow an hour and 20 minutes had disappeared. Kaz caught her reflection in the window. Something was different. She leaned closer. A single strand of her hair had turned white. At 4:21 a.m., two explosions shook Penturk. The first one was an airburst. Witnesses said it sounded like thunder, but sharper. The second explosion was different. A ground impact somewhere along Smilog Woods shook every house in the village. At the local hospital, patients thought a bomb had gone off. The explosions registered on seismographs 40 miles away. But something else happened that night that was more frightening to parents than the explosions. Their children couldn't wake up. All the kids in the area slept through all this noise. Explosions, planes, helicopters, sirens. One mother told investigators this was the first time in 10 years her kids didn't wake up in the middle of the night. The next morning, Kaz's hair had turned white. Not just that single strand, and not gray, white. Yesterday she had dark hair, now she looked 10 years older. Kaz, Dave, and another neighbor, Steve, went to check the field where the pyramid appeared. They expected to find the ground burned from the lightning strikes. Everything looked wrong. The grass was brown. The bushes were dead. Everything that had been under the pyramid's path was drained of life. Not burned, not broken, just dead. Trees along the edge of the field were dry and lifeless, but only the side that faced the pyramid. The rest of each tree, even branches on the same trunk, were perfectly healthy. But things got stranger. Snow was falling, but only there, only in the dead zone. And this wasn't normal snow. The flakes were tiny, spongy pellets, and they didn't melt when you touched them. They just dissolved into nothing. They hopped in their car and drove west toward L'Entresante Common, following the path of the objects and the aircraft. For years, locals had dumped old appliances in the common. It became like a giant junkyard. Washing machines, bike frames, car parts, they were scattered all over the common. But not today. Now everything was stacked in neat piles along the side of the road. Someone had searched, sorted and organized all the metal in the area. Yellow crime scene tape hung from the bushes, but there is no pattern to it, no perimeter, just random strips fluttering in the wind. A dog walker told them he'd been out at 4:30 that morning. He saw military helicopters landing. Troops jumped out with metal detectors. They were searching for something that crashed in Smilog Woods. So that's where they headed next. They found the impact site in minutes. Six trees, each 60 feet tall, snapped in half. Not at the base, 20 feet up where the trunks were 12 inches thick. All six breaks formed a perfect line pointing back toward Penturk. Trees don't snap like that. Not from wind, not from aircraft. Whatever hit those trees had been moving fast. Really fast. Faster than anything that exists on Earth. Immediately, all public areas were closed. Multiple highways were shut down, including the M4 motorway. The official reason was a truck overturned. The locals didn't buy it. You don't close half of South Wales for one truck accident. A camp appeared overnight in the fields behind Kaz's house. Perfect rows of civilian tents. Too perfect. As Kaz would say later, you could take the man out of the army, but you can't take the army out of the man. Steve, Dave, and Donna, another friend, went with Kaz to investigate. The men at the camp were clearly military. They weren't wearing uniforms, but they were heavily armed. They said they were conducting a fracking survey. That was the wrong cover story. Fracking wasn't allowed in that part of Wales.
How dare you!
Later, they switched stories. Now they were from Vodafone, a large phone company. They were checking cell tower locations. But why does a phone company have men in white forensic suits crawling on their hands and knees in the woods? And why does a phone company have employees in hazmat gear carrying assault rifles?
Have you seen the cancellation fees?
The surveyors acted strange. Every time someone walked past, the hazmat workers would stop what they were doing and stand up. They'd just stand there and stare at you until you were out of sight. As Kaz and her friends circled the area, they heard shouting. Three teams with electronic equipment and laptops were walking through the woods. Someone kept saying, "Find it, find it, find it now." Meanwhile, more witnesses were coming forward. Jacob Coleman had seen the green object near L'Entresant in a standoff with Apache helicopters. He said the green light didn't move like a machine. It moved like it was alive. A family in Cowbridge photographed barrel-shaped objects flying over their house at 2:33 a.m. The metadata proved it. Same night, same time as Penturk. The barrels were heading west, being chased by military aircraft towards Smilog Woods. Smilog Woods is a public area. It can't be closed without permission. But now the whole area was locked down and patrolled. Witnesses had been camping in Smilog Woods. They saw an object crash. Those witnesses were assaulted, illegally detained, illegally searched, and forcibly removed by armed military personnel. Their phones were taken and wiped. One witness drove through chunks of crystal scattered across a road, red and white crystal. It was like broken glass, but heavier and thicker, the debris field from one of the destroyed barrels. At Cardiff Airport, an Apache helicopter made an emergency landing with its cockpit on fire. The official story was a mechanical failure. It had taken off from St. Athan Air Force Base at 4:24 a.m., just 3 minutes after the explosion. It made multiple trips to the crash site that night, transporting something. And whatever they recovered, someone important wanted to see it. A BAE 146 jet with the call sign Kitty Hawk landed at dawn and left an hour later. This plane only flies VIPs like the Prime Minister and the Royal Family. The next morning, the military had an explanation ready. This was all part of Exercise Chameleon.
A chameleon is a type of lizard.
Chameleon was just a routine training drill. That's what they told the few reporters who asked. Just a war game, nothing really to see here. But you don't fly C-17s over a residential area in the middle of the night. You don't fly 24 helicopters around a hospital. You don't explode ordnance so large it registers on the Richter scale. And you don't have Apache helicopters making emergency landings with their cockpits on fire during routine drills. Exercise Chameleon didn't make sense.
Human, They are saying the quiet part out loud. They are literally telling us it's lizard people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Bear.
Please stop that.
What? Was that bad?
I'm begging you.
Fine, I'm sorry. I take it back.
NATO reconnaissance aircraft had been circling overhead during the entire incident. An E-3 Sentry Command aircraft, the kind that coordinates combat operations. Those planes cost $270 million and can track over 250 fast-moving targets simultaneously from 250 miles away. The surveillance planes had civilian transponders, private security registrations. The military was hiding their own aircraft from radar. They didn't want a record of what they were hunting. One plane stood out, the Hawker Beechcraft Shadow R1, call sign Snake 48. That plane was decommissioned in 2012, but in 2014, it came back after a top secret refit. For 2 years, nobody knew where it was or what modifications it received. Now, it was here, flying search patterns over Penturk. They knew something was coming, and whatever they added to that plane, it was designed to find it. Kaz started documenting everything, taking photos of the camp, recording registration numbers of unmarked vehicles, asking questions, simple ones at first. What military exercise? Why weren't residents warned? The Military of Defense had a simple answer. There was no exercise. But that made no sense. Wales Online posted at 3:39 a.m. that night saying they were covering the incident, but no story ever appeared. No press briefing ever happened. The media went silent. Kaz filed Freedom of Information requests, dozens of them. Governments don't like these requests. They delay, they deny, they claim national security. Kaz didn't care. At first, the MOD denied any military presence in Penturk. Then they admitted it, but claimed Section 26, National Defense. They said they didn't need permission from residents to conduct the exercise. Wrong. The Defense Infrastructure Organization requires written permission for all exercises on private land, 21 days in advance from every landowner, but nobody was informed or consented. Natural Resources Wales owns Smilog Woods, the location of the crash site. They gave no permission for military activity, no permission to close public paths, and definitely no permission to set off explosives. They wrote, "This type of activity would have required permission. If it had occurred, we'd have a record." The hospital changed their story three times. First, they said no one warned them about the military exercise. Explosions shook patients awake in their beds, but they received no advance notice. Then they said the South Wales police warned them about a counterterrorism exercise. The hospital apologized for their previous response, stating that new information had come to light.
Yeah, certain things have come to light, and, has it ever occurred to you that instead of, running around blaming me, given the nature of all this new stuff, you know, this could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be just a simple,
The hospital even provided an excerpt from an email about exercises running from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. on February 25th and 26th. When investigator Gary Jones asked for proof, the hospital said they didn't have the email. So how do you quote from an email that you don't have?
Oh, maybe the email was on Hillary's server.
Wait, what's our rule?
We don't joke about the Clintons. You're right, go ahead.
So, Kaz contacted the South Wales police 11 times. Kaz asked if they conducted counterterrorism exercises that night. Their response was always, "We could neither confirm nor deny." That's not a legal answer under Freedom of Information rules. You either have information or you don't. It turned out that the South Wales police never conducted counterterrorism exercises those nights. The chief of police said so. They did have counterterrorism training that past June, but not on February 25th or 26th. Regardless, the public is always informed about these types of operations, but not this time. The hospital lied, then lied about lying. The police lied, then lied about lying. Oh, the journalist who wrote those first cover stories for Wales Online? After 15 years, she quit. Her new job? communications officer for the Royal Glamorgan Hospital, the same hospital that couldn't keep its story straight. Investigators believed someone was trying to tie up loose ends. The excuses kept coming. When asked why troops collected scrap metal at 4:30 a.m., the MOD claimed national security. Old washing machines and broken bicycles were suddenly classified. Kaz searched the official MOD website for any record of Exercise Chameleon. Buried in the site, she found a NOTAM. A NOTAM is a notice to airmen that warns commercial and civilian pilots not to enter certain airspace. These notices are required before any exercise involving aircraft to prevent collisions. They have to be filed at least 5 days before the exercise. This NOTAM was filed at 9 p.m. on February 25th, 9 hours before the pyramid appeared. Worse, military aircraft flew 50 miles outside the NOTAM boundary. You never leave your airspace during exercises. That's how mid-air collisions happen, unless you're chasing something that isn't following your flight plan. The smoking gun came from the Air Commission Secretariat, the MOD's highest authority. He wrote, "I can confirm that no information in the scope of your request is held. There were no programmed air defense exercises in South Wales in February 2016. No exercise, no permission, no warning. Everything that happened that night was illegal. Kaz Clark had just declared war on the Ministry of Defense, and the MOD would fight back." The Penturk UFO incident is one of the most compelling I've ever covered. Multiple witnesses, government documents, photographs. But is it true? Well, let's start with what we know. Kaz Clark spent 8 years gathering evidence and fighting the Ministry of Defense, and they fought back. Kaz was threatened, followed. Military personnel have been seen at her presentations. Just 2 days after the event, she was nearly run off the road by a black SUV. But Kaz never gave up, and eventually the MOD had to issue a statement. They claimed this was all part of their scheduled training, Operation Chameleon. But Operation Chameleon actually took place a week earlier in Northern England, not Wales. She proved they lied. She proved 20 helicopters, 4 transport planes, and ground troops operated illegally over civilian areas. But what about the Black Pyramid and the red and green barrels? Can they be explained?
No.
Maybe.
Crap.
The pyramid could have been a misidentified aircraft. C-17s flying in formation might create a triangular shape. And modern stealth tech can make aircraft pretty quiet. The red and green objects could have been drop zone markers, the lights paratroopers use during night jumps, or they could have been flares. From the ground, multiple lights descending slowly might look like the edges of something massive. Except Kaz was right below the drop zone. She saw no parachutes, no soldiers, just objects that moved horizontally, changed direction instantly, and studied her from 30 feet away. Paratroopers can't do that.
Yeah, I bet the 82nd Airborne can.
They can't.
82, sold away!
Then there's Kaz's lost time. High-stress situations mess with your memory. You ever fall or drop something and it feels like it's happening in slow motion? When your adrenaline spikes, your brain doesn't process time normally. Everything slows down to give you time to react. Now, Apache helicopters carry powerful radar and jamming equipment. That might explain why phones didn't work.
Yeah, these explanations are pretty thin, boyo.
I admit that they are. I'm just telling you what the skeptics say. But this is a hard one to debunk. Witnesses said the pyramid didn't descend from the sky. It emerged through space. That technology doesn't exist. The MOD claimed the explosions were controlled detonations of simulated munitions. But simulated munitions don't register on seismographs 40 miles away. And you know how they closed the roads because of a truck crash? We can't prove that because all the CCTV was turned off that night.
Oh, that happens in certain jail cells from time to time.
Easy with that. The debris field was confirmed by multiple witnesses. Kaz's hair really did turn white overnight. Doctors couldn't explain it. But exposure to radiation does explain it. And Kaz has shown all the symptoms of radiation sickness. And you know how they discovered the radiation and that strange signal Kaz was emitting? During one of the 3 lie detector tests, she passed. Almost 2 years after the event, the radiation level at the site was still harmful to humans. It took 5 years for the area to clear. Surveillance planes circled for 3 days. Fat. The NOTAM appeared 9 hours before, not the required 5 days. Fact, $4.5 billion in military assets was deployed that night. Fact, Snake 48, a plane that officially doesn't exist, was flying search patterns. Fact, were they waiting for a UFO? We don't know. The mainstream skeptical view is that the Pentark UFO incident was a military operation. To me, this isn't really a story about the UFO. It's about the cover-up. The UK government, the Welsh government, the South Wales police, the hospital, dozens, maybe hundreds of people lied to the public. If there was a UFO encounter, I think the people of Pentark deserve to know. Because if this was just a military exercise, then countless laws were broken that terrified local residents and put them in real danger. So I have one question for the Ministry of Defense, the Welsh government, and the South Wales police. Just one. My question isn't, was there a UFO? My question is, why aren't any of you in jail?
Thanks to today's sponsor, Fishing Clash. Click the link below and use code WF to get rewards.
Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. Here's Hagglefish.
May your tinfoil hat never rust. May your bunker be well stocked. And may your alien probes always be warm.
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor. Like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff, it really helps the channel, and it only takes a second to touch that button. Like most topics we cover on the channel, today's is recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to thewyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel, and also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. It's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast. It's available everywhere you get your podcasts. And that's what the stripped episodes really are supposed to be. They're meant to be listened to, really not a video content. But if you're into podcasts, I really would appreciate if you checked it out. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. There are 75,000 members now. So there are thousands of people on there 24/7. They're into the same weird stuff that we are. It's a great community. It's really fun. It's really supportive. And it's free to join. Now, if you want to know what's going on with the Y-Files at any given time, check out our production calendar. It's theyfiles.com/cal. There we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, everything. Special thanks to our patrons who made this channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. I couldn't do any of this without you. 5 years, 5 amazing years. And a lot of these patrons, these amazing people, have been with me since the beginning. And if you'd like to support the channel, keep us going, and become part of this amazing community, become a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members, see your name in the credits, plus you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. And the whole Y-Files team is on the stream, everybody's camera. And you're welcome to turn on your camera, jump up on stage, ask a question, tell a joke, request a topic, talk about anything you like. I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab yourself a heck of a t-shirt, or one of these fistable coffee mugs. You can stick your fist in, or your fin, whatever you got there. Or grab a hoodie, or something with my face on it. Or get one of these creepy YouTube sort of things. Or a squeezy animal, stuff Hagglefish talking doll toy.
But if you're going to buy merch, make sure you become a member on YouTube. Members get 10% off everything in the Y-Files store forever. You get a new code every month. And if you want to join for 1 month, get the coupon code and then cancel, that's totally fine. That membership is not there to make me money. It's there to save you money. And all the proceeds go to the Y-Files team, not to me.
Oh, we're still doing this. Take it easy with the discounts, eh?
Those are the plugs. And there are a lot of them. And there's going to be a few more. But that's going to do it. I appreciate you hanging in there. Until next time, be safe. Be kind. Know that you are appreciated.
Oh, 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 yeah. I play Polybius in Area 51. A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the it never ends. I know it never ends. I fear the crap cat and got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set? Or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told. And his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fishes. Head from fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the solar storms still come to Agatha, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. We're in a simulation, don't you worry though. The Black Knight's at